So we start from talking about your father's. I think you got a really. How would you define the education you received from your father? Was it really, I mean, rigid, religious, conservative, what kind of?
Yes, religious, but in a. He was a very good example of how to live your life. The religious education we got was part of your life. It was like your food or your the water. It was the thing that made you into the person. But when we were small, we used to. My mother is very religious.
More than your father?
But a fanatic.
But was he Catholic of origin as a family?
Yes.
Ah, they were Catholic. Okay.
Yes, yes, no, no. My mother wanted to become a nun.
Okay. Okay.
But for a child, when you go to Mass on Sunday, you see your father kneel down and you see your father saying his prayers sincerely. For me, that's a wonderful example, because I knew that the fathers of my friends only went to Mass at Christmas and Easter. But my father used to go to Mass every day.
Uh-huh.
In Lent, every morning at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
He was also very friendly with the parish priest. And most of the social life of my parents, it was around the parish church, also around Salesians, because my father's uncle was a priest at Salesians, and there was a very close family tie. So their social lives revolved around mainly Catholic people, because they were from the church, from the Italian club, from Salesians.
But not only Italians, I mean, were most of them Italians in the environment of your family?
The environment where we lived at home, the people from the parish, no. There were one or two people, perhaps Italian. But, and then, of course, not everybody at Salesians, only one or two of the priests in those days. But... Yes, he was always a very a man who always led by example. Sometimes I used to feel, when I was quite small, a little bit jealous, because my parents were always involved with the St. Vincent de Paul, so they were out working for other to make the lives of other people better. And sometimes we children used to say, but they're always out working, you know. My dad, the last time, with the St. Vincent de Paul, he would drive to a place called Springbok, which is hundreds of kilometers. I'm not sure it's up the west coast. The last, with food parcels. So he would go to the central council of the St. Vincent de Paul, and he would ask them for money, a lot of money, enough money for him to go to the big wholesaler and fill a lorry with food, blankets, and old clothes. Then he would drive with the husbands of my sisters, and once with my husband, all this way, 600 miles, to go and deliver the stuff. And then they would sleep in the car on the way. Except for the last two trips, because my father was already 80 when he made his last trip, It's a long way. And they said, no, he was too old to sleep in the car, so they slept in somebody's house, maybe the parish priest on the way.
So, so for me, I can understand it for your parents, and maybe above all for your father. It was really important for you as daughters to marry some Catholic boy.
Yes, it was, but if you were not going to marry a Catholic boy, and my father thought he was good enough, that was fine.
Oh,
that was fine. My husband became a Catholic only last year.
For how long have you been married yet?
14 years.
Okay. So from, well, at the very beginning it wasn't a Catholic. It's from English.
It's English, yes. South African
English. South African English.
South African.
So
it was
like
Protestant,
so yeah.
Oh, yes, he was I think his mother was Methodist, and maybe she baptized him. We were never sure. She baptized him in the Methodist Church, but he was actually a member of the Communist Party.
Oh, it is really unusual, yes. Here in
there's
quite a few.
When I told my mother I was going to marry Basil, she said to me, David, that's a Jewish name. My mother was very indignant. So I said, no, Mummy, I said, this Davidson is not Jewish. I said, but he is a communist.
Even worse.
And so she said, that's okay, she didn't believe me.
Because
he's not my first husband. I've been married 3 times. Now, the first time I got married, I was marrying a man who was already divorced.
So, for your father and mother, it could have been quite a challenge.
My father had nothing to do with it. He wouldn't. We had to get married in the court. We couldn't get married in church, because I was a Catholic girl marrying a man who had already been married. My father, he wouldn't come to the ceremony. He said it was against his principles to watch an agent of the state doing what he said was only what a priest could do.
And when was it?
When was it? It was in 1974, and we were married for 8 years, and at the end of 8 years, one night, unexpectedly, my father came to the door, because my husband had asked him something about a blocked drain, and my father knocked at the door, and that night, my husband used to beat me, but I never told anybody. And that night, he had done a lot of damage. He'd been kicking me in the head, so my jaw was broken, my nose and my eye and my ear. So there was a lot of blood on my face. It looked worse than it was. And when my father came to the house, I went into my bedroom, and he called me, and I didn't come out of my bedroom. So he opened the door and he walked in, and I was trying to clean my face, and he said, how long has this been happening? And I said, all the time. And he said, come. My daughter was still, my younger daughter was a little baby. He went and he picked her up, and the other one was 6, and he put us in his car, and he ended that relationship. He ended that marriage, just like that. And then some years later, I met another man, Kenny Nicol, who was, I thought he was absolutely wonderful. And we got married. But 3 years only, 3.5 years after we got married, he was only 42. We were going to sleep one night, and he said, my shoulder is very sore. And it was, there was something wrong. and I took him to the hospital, and about 10 minutes after we got to the hospital, he had a massive heart attack. He didn't die straight away. He was in a coma for 5-6 days, and then only 2 days before his death was he conscious again, but he had brain damage because they had tried very long to resuscitate him, and he had no short-term memory. So if I was in front of him, he would know and understand that I was there, but he wouldn't remember what I had just said.
The relationship we had with him.
No, he understood the relationship, but he didn't understand what I'd said. So short-term memory. If he said to me, why am I here? What is this place? And I said, it's a hospital. You had a heart attack, but you're getting better now. Mm-hmm. And then immediately he would say, what's this place? Because he had no short-term memory.
Yeah. Wow.
He died later that night. He was only 42. And that was terrible. It was really, really terrible. And it was my father who came. And he organized the funeral. He organized everything for me. I remember my brother was there. Mm. What did my father tell you about my brother?
Nothing.
The dead one, he didn't tell you anything?
No, we're looking at the pictures. Well, he showed us the pictures, so we realized they were about the sons. He didn't say anything. He said something about the daughters. So I didn't feel like going deep from that point, because you told me about that, but he didn't say nothing at all.
He died in, I think, 19. If Thomas was born in 1994, I think he died in 95, 96 maybe. He was HIV positive. But he was not only HIV positive, but he started a home for a hospice for HIV
people. So he was
all active? He was. That home is still running in Johannesburg. It's still a Sacred Heart House, it's called. It's still running.
And it started when he knew he was HIV positive?
Oh, only when he knew he was.
Was he doing as a child before?
He went to the seminary.
For some of the of you sons and daughters got because of really strong religious feelings of your mother and your daughter, yeah. And your father, yeah. at least one of them,
he was going to become a priest.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry, I'm at he left the seminary, and then he just used to mess around, and he never admitted that he was gay, but he always had his boyfriend with him. And I know that even in my mother's house, when the boyfriend stayed, he slept in the same bed. You can work it out. But my parents will never admit that he was gay or that he died of HIV. They won't tell you that story. But he did a lot of good. He did a lot of bad, but he did a lot of good. And for me, sometimes to comfort the dying is sometimes the best thing that you can do. He in fact died in the home that he started in Johannesburg. He died at Sacred Heart.
How old was he?
He was 33.
33? That's really young. And he was not living actually in Cape, he was living in Johannesburg.
He was living in Johannesburg at the time, yes.
So he moved as a young or as a student?
No, he moved up and down and up and down. Johannesburg is not very far. and you know, and it's 2 hours by plane.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had gone to live there. I think that he'd had a lot of problems in Cape Town and needed to get out of Cape Town and go there.
So, I think that the fact that your father doesn't like to talk about him is because it's also still a bond that was.
The same as with his own father. My father will not tell you something that may be negative. You know that he's negative in any way. He won't tell you about his own father, and he won't tell you about his son. And if I went and did something terribly wrong, one thing I know is that my father would still accept me. He might not talk about me, but I would be able to go to him at any time.
So that was the same for your brother, I think, yeah?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. In fact, my father and mother were with him when he died. They had gone to be with him because they realized that the end was coming very, very quickly.
So was it quite fast in
the dying?
The dying.
Yeah. In the end, yes, yes. He didn't seem to show any signs of illness. He had Kaposi's sarcoma inside his mouth. He had things like that. We are not... you can see that we're a slim people, thin. Pietro was also. He was also like that. So he didn't appear to lose any weight. But then I didn't see him just before he died. And I think he probably didn't look so nice.
I want to ask you about, do you know your grandfather? You were?
Yes.
Yeah. For how long did you know him?
We used to, on Sundays after Mass, my father used to take my sisters and I, and we would go and visit my grandfather, and I think maybe once a month or so.
Well, when did he die?
I think it was 1961. I'm not sure, but yeah. I know that Zasante or Zafirina, they will know the date.
Yeah,
I think it was 1961.
Yeah. So that you told me that in your father's family, that was really like an open, well, like a vow for him, this whole story, what happened in the years, which is quite common, I can tell you, in the stories of it, Emperor. Yesterday I was hearing exactly the same story by another person.
Gosh.
It told me that his parents had actually that kind of problem.
Yes.
And they actually formally divorced. That happened in the 50s. It was really uncommon for that time.
Well, Nona came in 1957. 1937 they came. Zafirina will tell you, I don't know if they got divorced.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hang on, is it 39?
Yeah, that is the boat of your father's.
39? Oh, sorry, then I thought it was 1937.
Yeah, that's what your father told me, 39.
Right, I can work it out.
So, this song was your...
Luigi Battistone, yeah, was my
mother.
Yeah,
in 1970. This is what your father told me.
The 1970, that was the year I finished school.
So maybe it was...
I'm sure it was before. Oh, but
before?
Something will tell you.
Okay,
yeah, he knows,
yeah, I would ask him about that.
You see, I know that my father was... he was 13 when he came, and he was born in 1926. It's not 1937, it's 1939. He's right.
Okay, so that is... Because he was born in 1926,
yes.
He arrived in
1939.
The grandfather, when did he arrive? I didn't
know. 9 years before.
So 30.
Yes, 1930.
Really?
30. Yes.
Yeah. Well, when did the grandmother actually die? Do you remember?
I thought that Nona died somewhere around 1970, but then again
same time.
No, a long time afterwards. Long time
afterwards. No. So he didn't
it wasn't before, 70s.
Okay, so if we let it.
Yeah,
but did we actually live together when you were visiting them?
No. Okay. From the time that Nona came here, she never again lived with her husband.
And what did she do here? How could
they
manage to?
They lived in. They had nothing. They lived in a house. I think it was Roberts Road in Woodstock. But something will be able to tell you that. And they had nothing. I remember once my father saying that they had the packing crates for furniture at the beginning, because there was nothing for them.
Hmm.
You see, Nona was supposed to make a home for them to come to, and he didn't.
And then there were only the two children?
No, there were...
I don't remember this.
Six of Nona. Yeah, there was. It was Zia Maria.
Yeah.
Zia Rita. Who's the next? Then, there's Nila.
Ah, Nila. He told me about Nila.
Yeah. There's Sante, Nello, and then Aurora. But now I'm not sure if it's first Sante, then Nila. I'm not sure.
But where? So they were, all of them were born in Italy.
All born in Italy, yes.
So she arrived in 1939 with all these children.
No, she only arrived with with those four. Zia Maria had come earlier. She had come a few years earlier.
She was maybe the oldest one.
She was the eldest, yes. She was the eldest, she was the second. Now, with these, I'm not sure which one is older.
Well, actually, your grandmother arrived with all these children.
With these five, yeah.
And
yeah.
She found that kind of situation that she wasn't going to have a home for them.
Yes.
And for what you know, I will ask your uncle about that.
He will actually tell you. You know,
why I'm asking you, because I know that different memories. Maybe you are going to tell me something that your uncle will forget to tell me, even if I ask him. So that's why I ask you something that will come out easier.
Okay.
Just for a brief thing. So, for what you know, who managed to. Well, to take care of this family, of all these children.
I don't think Zerita had very much school at all.
Mm-hmm.
But my father went to Salesians.
Yeah.
He went to the boarding school.
Yeah, college, boarding school, I wrote it. Yeah.
Yes, and then Sante, he went to school. Himself, he didn't go to the formal school here. He went to night school.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have been very difficult, because he had to first learn to speak English, then go to night school to learn the language.
Yeah.
And Zerora, I'm not sure I think that maybe she went to school to St. Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a St. Agnes convent in Woodstock. In fact, the Scalabrini fathers have owned that now, St. Agnes.
Yeah, it's an impressive history. Yeah, that's it.